Is it possible for a metal axe head to float to the top of the water? Is it possible for the sun to stand still in the sky? Is it possible for the entire earth to be covered with water? Is it possible for dry bones to come together and stand up and live? Is it possible for a man to be raised from the dead after 4 days? And the King James says he stinketh. Are these things possible? The world would say, no way. No way. These things, no, there's no way these things could actually happen. The world says that even if God exists, he could not do these things, for they are impossible to do. To which I have only one response to that ever, is the fact I have to say, then you don't know God. I know that sounds like a simplified statement, but it's actually a profound statement. God has a name for those who do not believe in him. And he shares that name in Psalm 14:1. He shares that same name again in Psalm 53:1. Same verse. He says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And he goes, this one that God describes, he goes down into destruction with his humanist manifesto gripped tightly in his hand, believing only what is possible with man. For those of us who live in faith-filled belief in God by his grace, not by our own doing, again, there's nothing. We cannot ever point our finger at the one that God calls a fool and point our finger at them like we are something and they are nothing. Because it's only by God's grace that we even sit here today and acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's only by his grace. Because guess what? I too was a fool. Even though I have never not, quote unquote, believed in God, you could put me right along with the demons in James chapter, James, I can't remember what chapter, right off the top of my head. But James, where it says, even the demons believe and tremble. So I was pretty equal with a demon. And so we cannot ever point our finger to the unbeliever as though we are something and they are nothing. Because it's all about God. It's all about him. But we open our Bibles, those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and we live by faith, we open our Bibles and we hear the same words spoken to us today from the word that was spoken to Mary on that ordained day in Nazareth many, many years ago. And the angel Gabriel said these words to her, for nothing will be impossible with God. And those words from the Lord were spoken to her during a conversation about one of, if not the most humanly impossible happening ever. And let's read it. So let's go to Luke chapter 1. We'll pick up in verse 26. And you say, but this is May. This is not December. We can't read this text. Sure we can. In the sixth month, in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came and he said to her, greetings, O favored one. The word favored is the word grace, the one been shown grace. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor, or you found grace with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now let's look at the context of this, because you always have to look at Scripture within the context. We can't take it out and just what we call proof texting it for our own benefit. But we have to understand that this passage of Scripture we just read is much more relevant than just the first 25 days of December. The context of this is the birth of our Lord, the incarnation of the Son of God. And Mary, a young girl in the Galilean town of Nazareth, whose economic lifestyle was probably ordinary, probably similar to everyone else's. Her family was probably like everyone else in town. Nothing special, or let's say out of the ordinary, special, but nothing out of the ordinary. Her moral life was pure, especially when it came to virginity. And the real thing we know about her, besides her name and where she's from and her purity, is that God chose to show her his favor, his grace. Mary didn't apply for this position. She didn't send in her resume. There was no headhunters looking for this for her to get this. God shows up out of his own good pleasure. God shows up out of his own choosing, and he chooses Mary. And we're told that Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, is sent to her with a message. And this is not just an informational message necessarily that he gives her, but it's a message of that which is getting ready to happen to her and through her. So Gabriel's not just giving her information just for trivial pursuit, just for knowledge's sake. He's telling her what's getting ready to happen, what God's getting ready to do. It's a message of the impossible. Mary has never known a man in the biblical sense of physical intimacy, and God makes that extremely clear in this passage. Three times the word virgin is used in this passage. And we know from basic biology that in order for there to be a conception of a child, there must be a male and a female. That's basic biology. Even if the medical world boasts of its first test tube baby, who is Louise Joy Brown, born July the 25th, 1978. From my understanding, she's getting ready to celebrate her 41st birthday in July. So she'll be 41 years old then. There's still a male and a female involved in the conception, even if it was outside the womb. So even though Mary had no concept of IVF in her day, she still asked a question in verse 34 that goes way beyond human possibility. Even human possibility for our modern day medical achievements that we boast in and boast of. What she's asking is, and we understand in our modern understanding of biology, how can a human baby be conceived with no human male contribution? And see, that's where modern medical would draw the line and say it can't. And guess what? They're correct in that sense. It can't in that sense. But they're incorrect when it comes to the God of the universe. When it comes to the God that sent Gabriel to Mary, the God in whom Gabriel proclaims there's nothing impossible with God. And again, what we do know is so very true that if we rely on simply human abilities, we know not God. Because see, the angel makes it clear, Mary, nothing will be impossible with God. Mary, your past childbearing cousin Elizabeth, guess what? She's 6 months pregnant. And Mary, you're going to be pregnant too. And so God will take the human impossible and he will make it possible. There's so much going on here in the way of believing God. Hebrews 11 tells us, God tells us that we have to have faith in him. That without it, it's impossibility of man. It is impossible for a man or woman to please God without faith. 11:6, Hebrews 11:6. And we'll see toward the end of the day the importance of Mary believing God by faith. And so sometime between Luke 1:38 and Luke 1:39, God did what Gabriel had spoken he would do. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And then after verse 39, we read of Mary visiting her cousin Elizabeth, who again was beyond childbearing years, is pregnant with John the Baptizer. And filled with the Spirit of God, cousin Elizabeth declares to Mary that she is blessed by the baby boy in Mary's womb. So it's already taken place. Notice that Elizabeth asked no skeptical questions. She only believes God. Why does she believe God? Because she knows God. And since we know him too, I want us to take from this passage today, and I want God to write these words of Luke 1:37 upon our hearts. To write them upon our hearts, for nothing will be impossible with God. Now I need to preface where we're going from here. We are not teaching, nor, Lord, help me to never teach a name it, claim it theology, ever. We don't see that anywhere in the Scripture. Men and women have taken that and run with that for their own gain. They've preached that for their own gain, not for the gain of the listeners. We're not going to approach this in a way that promotes you just going out and looking for impossible things to do and asking God to make it possible, to start declaring that you sent the angel to Gabriel, angel Gabriel to Mary. And so you have to do this and you must do this for me. You see, his declaration to Mary was not a prescription for us. This is not a prescription. This is a description. So I can't go out and demand that God do the very same thing in my life. Not that I want to birth a baby, but do the very same thing in my life. The impossible in this sense that he did with Mary. It would be like me saying, God, it is impossible for me to win the lottery because I've never, ever bought a lottery ticket. But I ask you now to do the impossible and to let me win the lottery. That's ridiculous. You think, that's ridiculous. But we do that in a sense all the time, don't we? But we can't leave here thinking that Luke 1:37 is a prescription for God to do those kind of things in my life. But what you and I need is to sit here today believing, and we need to leave here trusting in that those things that God has already called us to do, right here, these are the things that God has already called us to do. And that we will sit here right now, and that we'll leave here in a few moments believing and knowing that God can do the impossible with what He has already told us. For we know that He can do these things. The angel said so. His word says so. There's no way that I can mention every situation in life. And I may not even get close to what's going on in your life right now. The things that seem impossible in your life right now. But here's the call to us. The call to every one of us is to what? To look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And if He's the author and the finisher of our faith, then all things are possible through Him. So whatever's going on in your life right now, in your circumstances, in your heart, in your mind, in your surroundings, whatever is going on, know that it is not beyond God. It is not beyond Him. To be able to accomplish His work in you, it is not beyond Him to conform you to the image of His Son. It is not beyond Him to bring everything to completion in Christ Jesus, His Son, in your life. Know that. You may be sitting here today thinking that someone has wronged you, that they've sinned against you in such a devastating way that you are believing in your heart that there is no possible way you will ever be able to forgive them for what they have done to you. And what they have done to you may be horrific. It may be so horrific that you can't even say it, mention it by words to anybody else. And it was real. What they did was real. We don't minimize that at all. Because we as people can do very mean things to other people. We can say things. We can use our words. We can use our hands. We can use our face, our eyes. We can use other people. We can use weapons. We can use all kind of things to do mean and violent and terrible things to other people. And some of those things may have been done to you in the past. And you're sitting here believing, you're thinking, there's no way it will ever be possible for me to ever forgive them for what they've done to me. You may have trouble. You may be sitting here as a young person having trouble obeying your parents. And it seems the more you try, the worse you get. Been there and done that. And you're believing that it would never be possible for you to be good enough for your parents. And I say that based on the fact that your parents aren't putting ungodly, unrealistic expectations upon you. Maybe as a parent you're believing that is an impossibility for you to even be a decent parent, much less a good one. Been there and done that. Sometimes I'm still there. Maybe you've made some really bad financial decisions and they're finally catching up with you. And you're believing and thinking in your heart that it's impossible for me to ever get back on track, much less ahead. It may be that you have things in your memory that you've done in the past, things that only you know about, things that only you need to know about, that seem impossible that the Lord could ever forgive you of those things. Things you've said, things you've done, even things you've thought, and I've thought. things you think are just too bad for Jesus' blood to wash me clean and make me whiter than snow. Relationships broken that seem impossible. They'll never be reconciled, we think. Loving people as God has called us to love. People who are impossible to love. There's people in your life that you think they're just impossible to love. They're just impossible. Carrying burdens which seem too impossible for you to carry. Believing it's impossible that God is really sovereign over your life. God, if you were really sovereign over my life, all this junk wouldn't be happening right now. I wouldn't have to be dealing with this. I wouldn't be facing this. Doubting that it's ever possible for you to ever be conformed to the image of Christ because you've already expended your 490 times, your 70 times 7. You've come back to Jesus on that one thing. You're thinking, that's 490, I'm done. See, Gabriel's words to Mary were in the context of the seemingly impossible virgin birth. It's never happened before. And unless God does it again, it'll never happen again. But there's no need for it to happen again. He says it's done. So it won't ever happen again. The virgin birth. But see, when God ordains something to happen, it happens. Job says, no plan of yours, Lord, can be thwarted. No plan of yours can be thwarted. The impossible what becomes possible? Because he is the one making it happen. It's not because I'm pulling myself up by my bootstraps and I can do it now. Yes, I can. At the ball field yesterday, it's interesting to hear, and I understand what people are saying, but parents, their son gets up to bat or somebody else gets up to bat and comes out of their mouth, you can make it happen. You can make it happen. That's what's coming out of their mouth. I'm thinking, I've been to bat. I played baseball 8 years. I've been to bat too many times. No, I can make it happen. And then he strikes out and he walks back to the dugout dragging his bat. You know, like he didn't make it happen. But you just said he could make it happen. We understand that God makes things happen. We understand that. God makes the impossible possible, not us. I don't turn over new leaves to make the impossible possible. I don't pull myself up my bootstraps. I don't get more educated. I don't do these things in order to make the impossible possible. God does them. See, God had declared hundreds of years before, at least seven we know of, because Isaiah prophesied of Jesus being born 700 years before Jesus was born. So God had declared hundreds of years before for that Jesus would be born of a virgin. Mary didn't do it. Joseph didn't do it. No one else did it. God did it. So we go back to those scenarios we looked at. God has declared for you and I to what? To forgive as we have been forgiven, Ephesians 4:32. You sit there and think, it's impossible for me to ever forgive them. But God has said, forgive as you have been forgiven in Christ Jesus. God has declared to you to not doubt him, but to believe in him. God has declared to love even your enemies. You've heard it said, hate your enemies. Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. God has declared for us to be reconciled with each other. God has declared for us to give him our burdens. God has declared to know that our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. God has declared to believe that he can supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. God has declared to obey and honor your parents. God has declared to bring up your children in the admonition of the Lord. You see, all these things are impossible with just us. But all these things are possible in the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. God had called Mary to carry his son. Guess what Mary had to do? Believe him. She had to believe him. Now, she still had to carry him. I know we understand all the aspects. But all she had to do was believe God. If God calls us to do something, if God calls us to live a certain way according to his word, if he calls us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross, if he calls us to love others, if he calls us to trust in him, then he will do the impossible to bring those things to be. Because if we could do those things apart from him, we would not need him. Ever. And he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on a cross in vain at that point. See, Mary's response to the impossible was this. Verse 38. Behold, I am your servant. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That's her response. And then she had to do from there on what was necessary in order to carry the incarnated Son of God in her womb and to bring forth the birth that wonderful night or day, that wonderful time, night in Bethlehem. So what was Mary's part? Yielding and obeying to God's word. Yielding and obeying the word of the Lord. So what is our response? It's exactly the same as Mary's. To yield to and obey the word of the Lord. That's my response. When God comes and says, you can, David, forgive this person who wronged you because I have forgiven you in Jesus, my son. What is my response to that? No, Lord, it's impossible. No, that's not my response. My response, it should not be my response. My response should be, yes, Lord, I'm your servant. And I'm your servant because the great servant died for me. So let it be according to your word. You said I can forgive because you have forgiven me in Christ Jesus. Then let it be according to that word, to your word. If you have said it in your word, Lord, I've got to believe you can do it. Whether I think it's possible or not, I've got to believe you can do it. I've got your word on it. We read this morning in our Grace Connection study of how God did the impossible by giving the greater, stronger army, Jabin's army, into the hands of the Israelites. Barak and the Israelites came off Mount Tabor as God commanded, go, attack. The prophetess Deborah had told them to do that. And the entirety of Jabin's army was what? Destroyed. The smaller, little bitty, impossible army destroyed the huge, well-equipped, big army. God did what seemed impossible through his people. We read it from the beginning all the way to the end of the scripture. Over and over of God working through his people, doing that which humanly cannot be done. God doing it. They obeyed his word. So the call to us is the same. We're the same to do the same thing. What are we to do? First is to yield. To yield. We need to surrender to the sovereign authority of the Lord. To his authority. So what do? As we even sit here in our seats, or I stand here, we say this, I am yours, Lord. According to your word, I am yours. I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And your word says, if I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then I am saved. I am yours. No matter how I feel, At the moment, I am yours. I belong to you. And I will do whatever you've called me to do by your grace, by your enablement. I will do whatever you've called me to do, to believe. I will believe what you've called me to believe. I will do what you've called me to do. I will be whom you've called me to be. I will forsake that which you've called me to forsake. I will embrace that which you've called me to embrace according to your word. The second is to agree with what the impossible he's calling for. We can go back to our scenarios. Lord, let my enemies be loved through me. Lord, let those who do not deserve forgiveness from me receive it anyway. Lord, let my parents be obeyed by me. Lord, let my children know that you know your love through me and your word through me. Lord, let my burdens be given to you and carried by you, because you have told me to cast them upon you, to cast all my cares upon you because you care for me, to take your yoke upon myself. Lord, let your sovereignty over my life be believed in the very depths of my heart, whether I can see it, whether I can grasp it, no matter. Let me believe that you are sovereign over everything in my life, everything. Even the hairs on my head. Even all the days ordained for me. Lord, let my boss, who's overlooked me time and time again, be blessed by me as I work hard for him or her. Let your gospel go forth in the lives of those that I'm afraid to speak to. Lord, let those who are separated from me be reconciled to me. Lord, let the impossible become the impossible. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us to walk justly according to this passage and to not use it out of context, but Lord, to believe it, that you are the God, you're the only God, the one true God, and that you can do that which we think is impossible. You can do it and make it possible. All the things you've called us to do, all the things you've called us to be, all the things you've redeemed us to be, and the things you've redeemed us from. God, help us to trust you in this moment of response to your call upon our lives, that which you're calling us. I just pray, God, that you, Holy Spirit, that you would draw, especially the one who is unbelieving, today you would draw them to repentance, that you would regenerate their heart to the fact that they can believe in you, Lord, and they can confess their lostness and their sins to you, and today receive you. Lord, for those of us who know you and who are struggling and who are holding on to impossible things that you've called us to release and let go, forsake, to put off. God, I pray today that by the power of you, Holy Spirit, that we would be renewed, reconciled, that we would believe, and not just believe in our hearts and our minds, but Lord, that belief that would be put into action in the way we live this week as we face those seemingly impossible things again. God, have your way. We need you. And I just pray that you would do a mighty thing in our lives today. Not because we deserve it, but just by your grace, for your glory, to bear witness of you and your great love and power and salvation. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.